Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Showtime. How y'all feel?
You got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
And good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us on a midweek edition of Sports Daily. Shane and Bruce getting going. Chad Chambers produces. I guess, Shane, we start with a question. Were the St. Louis Cardinals even in this National League Championship Series? I mean, did they ever show up, or are we still waiting for them to do so?
I legitimately felt bad for them, in a way.
I did, too, in that first. Yeah, that first.
Give up a touchdown in the first inning and look like a little league team and doing it in a game where you had to have your best game.
Yeah,
I'm not going to put the blame at the feet of Dakota Hudson. I mean, he just happened to be out there when it blew up on him, the pitcher for the Cardinals. But my God, that if you just play normal in the first inning, by the seventh, you're in the game, because the Cardinal bullpen blanked them after that.
Sure.
You know, seven in the first, and that's all the Nats got. You see that oftentimes in baseball after a huge inning, the team that gets all the runs shuts it down, and that's what happened. But, man, just play normal, and that two-run double in the fifth, and things become a lot more interesting. Now, it's not like this was a game seven, you know. Even if they pull this one out, they got to win the next one and the next one and the next one after that, and it just didn't seem like it was going to happen. But not only do you kind of feel however you want to feel about that awful performance in the first inning by the Cardinals, but they were historically bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like in postseason history, bad.
Yeah, they were dominated really from the get-go.
Offensively,
and really
didn't do a thing. In the year of the home run and everything else, the Cardinals' offense absolutely no-showed for four straight games.
Weird.
Very weird.
Very weird.
Now, credit to the Nationals' starting pitching.
Yeah.
They saw four beasts, you know, in different ways. And Corbin last night, for crying out loud, was the first guy in big league history to strike out 10 batters through the first four innings of a playoff game.
I mean,
every game,
every
I guess,
guy
they, were,
was good.
They were making history. They were making history every
Every
game.
Guy was good to great.
Yep.
It was, in fact, I'm watching it yesterday and thinking, well, maybe we need not to talk about the Cardinals or anyone. Maybe the story here is the Washington Nationals.
True.
And the fact that they have dominated throughout this postseason in pretty consistent fashion. Now, how it relates to the next stage on the World Series, well, remains to be seen. But, God, I like their makeup.
Man. And
their makeup is solid.
We talked over and over and over and over again about the 6,800 home runs that were hit this year, and it's the year of the home run, and the Yankees hit 306, and the Twins hit 307, and just everybody hitting bombs. And here the Nationals are down two runs in the last inning twice, or in the eighth inning, I'm sorry, in the wild card game and in game five of the NLDS. So we wondered aloud, it's like, all right, what are the playoffs going to be like? Are we going to have football scores in the playoffs? Or, you know, are the pitching staffs going to get ramped up? And, by the way, there's another conspiracy theory out there that the ball got de-juiced.
De-juiced.
And now we have normal baseball again. So whether or not that happened, take a bow, Nationals pitching staff.
No question.
Because if you like more normal baseball, you liked what the Nationals did. But, my God, put the ball in play, Cardinals. That was embarrassing.
Yeah, that was awful. And off they go. And, is it almost better to lose that way than it would be in a Game 7?
No,
inches away from getting – I don't know.
No, they made history, Bruce. They made history. Yeah. Entering this year, there had been 360 teams in postseason history to play a best of seven, either LCS or World Series. The Cardinals had the worst batting average, slugging percentage, and strikeout percentage in the history of postseason baseball. And the third worst on-base percentage. They hit 130, they slugged 179, and they struck out 36% of the time.
It's amazing.
That's the worst in postseason big league history in those three categories.
You crystallized it. Of course, all you had to do was watch the series to know it. You know what I mean?
It's like, okay,
I don't even need to check these numbers. It's so ugly.
And honestly, watch the first inning last night. Corbin struck out the side. The Nationals got seven.
I was done.
That was it.
I was done with it.
I was like, all right, what else is on?
Yeah.
You know, and check back every now and then. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was too bad for Brian Anderson, Ron Darling, and Jeff Francoeur that they had to sit through that crap for four games. But it's over with, and now they'll get a good long rest.
God, the whole series, really, when you get right down to it. I mean, was there even really a moment of tension or drama in
that's
this
the
series?
That's the other thing. The Cardinals never made the Nationals sweat, never made Dave Martinez ever really do anything.
No.
Now, all due credit to Dave Martinez. You don't just do something for the sake of doing it. But the Cardinals never forced his hand once, not once.
Well, they got four fantastic pitching efforts, and they rendered Corbin almost moot yesterday by putting up a seven spot. So, I mean, you know, he strikes him out, you know, in order in the first. Then he comes back in the second. He's got a seven-run lead. The game's over.
Mm-hmm. And he struck out, I think, two more guys in the second. So,
869-1240
is the Twin Peaks Scenic Views hotline. We're off and running here on a Why Not Wednesday out at the corner of Kellogg and Tyler at Side Pockets. That's what it is out there for their famous lunch special. Jason is the first one in. Jason, what did you think of that bludgeoning?
Oh, my gosh. It was, it's one of those things where, you know, as a St. Louis fan, you know, do you think the Dodgers may have been a better matchup? Because going into it, I'm like, well, you know, the Nationals have much better pitching, and the Dodgers have a tendency to maybe choke in the playoffs. But man, the strikeout came back to really haunt St. Louis, and they struggled with that all year. After about the All-Star break, they started playing pretty good, but they weren't a playoff team most of the season,
right.
You know, mixed in with the Cubs collapsing the last half. And, you know, the Brewers kind of fell apart there at the end. But I just couldn't believe, you know, to think maybe the Dodgers, maybe that would have been a better matchup for St. Louis. But it's hard to say. I mean, it's, you know, and what really stinks about getting swept is you would want those younger guys like Tommy Edman and some of their younger up-and-coming players to get a little more experience in the playoffs. I don't think they can touch the Astros or the Yankees, but – you know, and my final question is, you know, they talk about the Nationals' first time appearance. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, is this the first time for the Montreal Expos as well?
Yeah.
Well done. Well done, Jason. Oh, that strike season. We'll never know what the Expos could have done, right? So, funny.
And for as historically bad as the Cardinals were, you also absolutely have to give the Nationals a big pat on the back. But think about this for a second. rain on their parade just for a minute. Teams to sweep the best of seven league championship series result in the World Series. 2015, the Mets did it, then lost. 2014, the Royals did it, they lost. 2012, the Tigers did it, they got swept in the World Series. 2007, the Rockies, they got swept in the World Series. 2006, the Tigers, they lost in five. The only time that a team swept the best of seven league championship series and won the World Series was the 95 Braves. So that's kind of an ominous.
That's interesting.
Oh, man, I'd say.
That is really interesting.
Yep, just the 95 Braves had swept the LCS and then went on to win the World Series. We'll see what happens with the Nationals this year, and they'll be able to set up their pitching rotation however they want to. Corbin's 12 strikeouts tied with Jim Palmer in the 1970 ALCS for the most in a series-clinching game in Major League history. So there's all kinds of history being made, not only in the series but last night. And then you rewind. Let's go back to the back padding again because the Nationals deserve it. This run for the Nationals started, in essence, when they were 12 games before below 500 on May 23rd. For reference, get a load of this. June 1st, the Tigers were 22-33, and the Nationals were 25-33.
Wow.
The Tigers went on to lose 114 games and have the worst Major League Baseball record. But on June 1st, both teams had the same amount of losses.
It's really interesting.
And then right up until the wild card game, they were down by two runs entering the eighth inning, same way in Game 5 of the NLDS. And they survived.
You survive, and then all of a sudden you catch fire. Now, it's not transferable.
No.
It's not. I mean, it's baseball's a different kind of game in that you don't always necessarily gain momentum from winning games. You get a little wind in your sails, and you feel good about yourselves, and you're coming off four really well-pitched games. But that doesn't necessarily translate. You're going to be facing a totally different lineup. Instead of seeing the Cardinals for four games, you're going to see either the Yankees or the Astros. Much more imposing lineup, different kinds of challenges, different kind of ballparks they're going to be playing in, et cetera, et cetera. All of those things go into it. But for the here and the now, it's kind of a typical baseball story. Royals beat the A's trailing by four in the eighth or the seventh or the eighth, and they're facing Lester, for God's sakes. Mm-hmm. And they come back and win it and end up going to a World Series and almost win that. It's just – that's why you can't really forecast much in Major League Baseball. It all changes. Hell, it changes from game to game. So, but I know this. Either the Astros or the Yankees will be waiting for the Nationals. And I think that no matter what, Shane, at this point – the World Series is going to be worth buying a ticket to see.
You talked about,
'cause I like the Nationals.
You talked about stuff not being transferable. Ask Marcelo Ozuna if things.
Absolutely.
Was hot as a firecracker against the Braves, and he won for four last night with a hat trick. Paul Goldschmidt hit 0-63 in this series. No hits last night in four at bats, three strikeouts. Really, nobody did anything except for Jose Martinez had that two-run double in the fifth inning. But everybody else scuffled too.
Ozuna had a sliding catch that, what, 9 out of 10 times he would have made. I mean, he made a good play to get to the ball, but then couldn't catch it, you know, and they're scoring runs off. I mean, it was one of those series where Cardinals could do virtually nothing right. The Nationals could do virtually nothing wrong, and that's what we saw. That's how you get four-game sweeps that end up being historic in their one-sidedness.
Howie Kendrick was the MVP. Cardinals,
rightfully so,
never led throughout all four games. And again, each pitching performance by the starters for the Nationals was seemingly better than the guy before him. And that included two no-hit bids.
How fun is watching a guy like Howie Kendrick hit in a series like this, man? You talk about a guy that goes up there with a purpose and an understanding of what he's wanting to do and then is locked in with it. It was fun watching him in this series.
Yep.
Really fun. So now we have the Astros up 2-1, and Gerrit Cole in very atypical Cole-like fashion. But, you know, he gained more in my eyes yesterday, Shane, in watching him pitch because he stayed the course. And he couldn't get his curveball going early. He got extended into counts. He's walking guys.
Walked five guys.
But he's wiggling off the hook because he's such a competitor. And then eventually that curveball starts getting snap and finish. And all of a sudden at the end of it, he's the same old Gerrit Cole as always. But he showed toughness without his best stuff early on in the game against a very intimidating lineup in an intimidating ballpark. The guy continues to show me stuff time in and time out. And he won this game yesterday in very atypical fashion, but at a time when the Astros absolutely had to have it, he delivered it again.
19 consecutive decisions, he has come out on the winning side. And not that he needed this particular performance to make him a few extra million bucks, but to your point, taking him 112 pitches to get through seven innings, allowed 9 base runners and no Yankees scored in their ballpark, a bandbox to beat all bandboxes offensively.
Sure.
And he did it with his B-minus stuff, honestly.
No question.
He was erratic. And yet, when he had to make a pitch, he made every last one of them. And now it's probably going to rain. And so now it's probably going to be Tanaka versus Zach Greinke, if you want to do that, if you're both managers, because there's a high probability of rain in the Bronx today and tonight. But, man, it's one thing to watch Gerrit Cole throw a two-hitter and strike out 14, which he's routinely done, and I don't mean to poo-poo that at the big league level. It's incredible, making the best hitters on the planet look like he does. But I think it was maybe a little more satisfying, if you like watching stuff like that, to watch Cole struggle a little bit, but when he absolutely had to bear down, still shut out the Yankees in his seven innings.
He only struck out 7.
Yeah,
so
that's a bad day at the office for him.
And he walked 5.
Yep.
Right. So all you need to do is look at that line and the fact that he threw 112 pitches. All you have to do is look at that and say, okay, this guy was really beatable. And he was beatable, which makes the way that he competed, to me, even more impressive because he picked his spots. Now, he was forced to do it, but every single time in a spot where he had to make a pitch, even without his best stuff, he'd make a great pitch. Every single time. Okay, he'd walk a guy, and but Shane, he had, what, 4 or 5 instances before he really got it going where he absolutely had to make a pitch. It was go time, and the Yankees were threatening, and the tenor of the game could have changed, and every single time he made a pitch.
Yep.
God, you got to love a guy like that. You just have to love him.
And the Astros weren't ever far enough ahead to where I was like, well, if he gives up a hit here, it's no big deal. The game was hanging in the balance from the word go. And he never really settled in until he got around 100 pitches. That's when he kind of settled in.
Whew.
Yeah.
When he did, man. Now all of a sudden you're dropping 87-mile-an-hour curveballs with wicked snap at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, when he got going – those last two innings, his curveball was, I don't even know how you hit it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, they didn't.
No,
I mean, right?
Because you
I mean,
have to honor 99, because he was still throwing 99 in the sixth inning. So,
and throwing 99 up.
Yeah.
And then breaking it off his curveball at the bottom of his. I mean, you're sitting there thinking, well, all right, whatever. Going back and trying to figure it out. It was fun to watch in a different kind of way than we normally watch Gerrit Cole. Usually we just, you know, just enjoy the ride. Yesterday it was bumpy, but it was no less effective. He was fantastic and gave the Astros what they absolutely needed to have. A win, and now up 2-1 in the best of seven. All right, we're just off and rolling. Brian Haney coming up, part of What's on Tap, courtesy of our friends from Side Pockets on this Why Not Wednesday, home of the Daily Lunch Special at the corner of Kellogg and Tyler. Lots to get to in the world of football. Countdown to kickoff for Thursday night is on, and a huge trade involving three different clubs yesterday in the NFL. Talk about that as we continue in a moment.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.